Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tasha and Barbara. I didn't hear any of those missing notes. Sounded great. Well, if it's missing, I wouldn't hear it, would I? There you go. Yeah. So welcome. We're so glad you're here. And before I get started, remember we're going to Spring Creek after this. On July the 4th, we won't be meeting. That's on a Wednesday, so we're just skipping the meeting on that one. Well, there was a husband and wife, senior citizens. They decided to go to their doctor because they've been very forgetful, both of them. So he said, well, here's what you do. You just make sure that whenever you're planning something, you just write it down so you'll remember it. So sure enough, they said, okay, that's what we'll do. So that evening, the wife said to her husband, she said, would you go fix me a bowl of ice cream? He said, I sure will. He started to get up and leave. She said, wait a minute. She said, you better write that down like the doctor said. He goes, I don't need to write down a bowl of ice cream. I can remember that. So he goes off to the kitchen and he comes back in a few minutes and he's got bacon and eggs for her. And she said, I knew you would forget. You didn't do what the doctor said. You left off the toast. All right, well, this lesson today is called Evangelism, Jesus Style. He's the best evangelist in the whole world. Yeah, do things His way, you'll get the success that Jesus got. So we're going to kind of keep that as a theme throughout, is doing things the way Jesus did them. And we're not all preachers, but we are all reachers. There you go. 1 Peter 3 says, in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. Other translations says to give an answer. Sometimes when we use the word defense, it sounds like you're being defensive. We're not defensive. Now, we're on the offense. But anyway, that's what it says. Give a defense. That means give an answer. To anybody that asks for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Let me ask you, has any Christians ever violated that down through the years? They left off the gentleness and the respect. And also the key to everything there is in the very first verse where it says, regard Christ the Lord as holy. So if He's present in your life and it's evident and it's showing, there might be people asking you, hey, how do I get that? See, and then you're ready to give them an answer for something they're asking of you rather than a question you're asking them that they don't relate to. All right, let's look at Matthew 10, 6 through 8. Here's an evangelistic tool of Jesus. He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's all we've got to do. Just do what Jesus said. So that's what they did. They went around door to door. And I kind of picture this. Okay, when they knocked on the door, they didn't say, we're from the Baptist church, and we'd like for you to know when our service schedule is. No, that wasn't their tactic. What were they supposed to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. So they knock on the door and said, hello, is there anybody in the house that needs prayer? Anybody sick? Anything need? Can we help you with anything? See, the trouble is, as Christians or as church people, we're always wanting somebody to do something for us. Why don't you make us happy and come to our church? No, we're here to minister to you. We don't want anything. We've got something to give. So, how about it? Well, they might say, you know what? Why don't you just hit the bricks? You don't have anything that we want. And then they would say, okay, no problem. We'll just go on down to the next house. But they might say, well, you know what? My mother's in the back room and she's been sick for a long time. Would y'all pray for her? And they go, yeah, that's what we're here for. So they go back, they pray for her. All of a sudden, her fever breaks and she starts feeling great. She sets up and says, what happened? And they said, well, you heard it. Be healed in Jesus' name. And then the whole family gathers around. So would you tell us more about Jesus? Would you tell us more about this kingdom that we heard you say something about? Now then, they've got their attention and they're wanting to know. Well, that's evangelism Jesus style. So I've got here five myths about evangelism. So we're going to look at the myths. This is not what I'm recommending. These are myths. Number one, people are not open to the gospel. Now, I will admit, most of the times they're not open to religion. They're not open to your denominational label. But don't assume they're not open to the gospel. I don't know anybody in the world that doesn't want to hear good news. When somebody runs up to you and says, good news, don't you want to hear it? Would you say, stop, don't want to hear it? Yeah. No, I want to hear it. Come on, tell me. What's the good news? Well, sometimes your good news is, I got a new car. See, you're all excited about it. Well, I can't share Jesus, but when somebody asks you about your new car, you can go on for a couple of hours telling them all about it, all the features of it. Why? You're excited about that. And you're figuring they might want to hear, they might want to get excited too. So be excited about what you're sharing. Don't do it out of compulsion, but out of love and excitement and enthusiasm. So don't assume people are not open to the gospel. What they're not open to is the way it's been shared by others in the past and given it a bad reputation. Witnessing has a bad reputation, if you don't know that by now. Number two, witnessing is for people with outgoing personalities, and I'm too shy. Yeah. Hey, ladies, gentlemen, anybody, get a new vacuum cleaner? Boy, you're not shy then. You're going to tell everybody about, you know, how good it is, how it cleaned your floors. All of a sudden, you're not so shy. So sometimes we're just sort of shy about different things. But listen, shy, quiet people, I would much rather have a shy, quiet person witness to me about Jesus than this overly outgoing person that's going to grab my shoulders and shake me. You know, you got to hear this. Repent. Number three, it's something I do as opposed to something that I am. So it's supposed to be something that you are. You're sharing something that's on the inside of you that has changed your life, and hopefully others can see that and might be interested. Four, I need to sign up for an evangelism class. Now, did Jesus tell his disciples, wait a minute, don't go out until you've finished this evangelism course? 6 weeks. So, it's mainly getting something on the inside of you that you're excited about, therefore you can share it with others, and you can do it in your own way. Number five, I'm not bold enough. Well, you know, I think there is a certain amount of boldness that we need to have. You don't knock on a door and say, I hope nobody's home. No, we're hoping somebody is home. Hope they don't have a big bad dog. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So caring overcomes timidity. All right. Number five. Oh, slide five. Sorry. So the best way to witness is to care about people to the point of entering into their pain and helping them overcome it. And then naturally share the hope and strength that you have in Jesus Christ. And the key there is naturally. Just make it natural. Find ways to get into a natural conversation with people. You're not having to change the subject from the mundane to religion. Because if you start sharing with people, sometimes they'll kind of see, oh, you're trying to get me to come to your church. Oh, you might as well just stop right there. I'm not religious. The answer to that one is, neither am I. Oh, I don't like religion. I don't want to have anything to do with religion. I said, well, then you probably ought to come to our church because that's the way we all are. We've all had it up to here with religion. We just want Jesus. Okay, so the key to sharing your faith is not what you believe, but who you believe. Not what we sing about on Sunday morning, but who is in our heart that's causing us to make melody in our hearts. Share Jesus as a living person. If you're just talking about a man of history, then they view him like Socrates or Plato or Cicero or Julius Caesar or Napoleon. Hey, they're all people of history. So what? I mean, that was 2,000 years ago. So what? Oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you, so what? I'm talking about a living person. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he's alive. That's the reason he can save you. If he's dead, he can't do anything for you. So share Jesus as a living person. People need more than a history lesson. They need someone they can call on today and get an answer. Yeah. So don't get in someone's face. Get in someone's shoes. Identify with people. They're a person just like you're a person. They're struggling with things the same way. They got a family, you've got a family. You can witness to them just from talking about your kids, and they'll say, boy, I know. What did you do? So let's do some less confrontational witnessing and more identifying with people and where they are in life. Yeah. I think of many times when I'm talking with somebody and they start telling me their story, and oftentimes I can say, been there, done that. Yep, I've gone through the same thing. But I came out the other side. Really, you did? What did you do? Well, I prayed. You know, God's got that covered in his promises, and I stood on his promise and prayed, and God answered my prayers. Really, tell me more about it. See, you've got people interested in now in what's inside of you that might help them with their problems. So here's six musts to be effective. Be positive and upbeat. Not argumentative and aggressive. Number two, have a personal testimony. Hey, do you know the Lord? Well, of course I do. All right, you have a personal testimony. Why not say, this is how I came to the Lord? It's not that you have to have been on drugs or in prison. But everybody has a personal testimony that others can relate to. And you do your best to relate it to them. Number three, how about just be happy? Can you do that? Listen, I've seen Christians that look like they've lost their best friend. Like they're just aimless walking through life. They're actually a little bit grumpy. Have you seen some of those? Well, what kind of a good word do they have for anybody? They actually need somebody to cheer them up. So be happy. Because you are. Stop and think about everything that God's done for you. All the prayers that he's answered. So sometimes you have to just remember what all God has done. What a blessing God is. All the grace that's flowing towards you right now. And then you start getting happy. Well, be happy. Then you go out and face other people and be happy. Number four, be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading us, just like he led Paul, just like he led Peter, just like he led Philip. We'll talk about him in a minute. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit will give you wisdom, not only who to talk to, but what to say. Have you ever stopped and asked, Lord, here comes a person down the street. Is there something I can say to them that might help them? I'm listening, Lord. He might give you a topic. He might just say, just smile at them, shake their hand, do something, and then I'll lead you. I'll put the words in your mouth. But be expectant. Expect to be, always be ready. So, Lord, today I'm going to be ready. There's no use God bringing somebody by in your path if you're not ready, because then you'll just ignore them, you know. Sometimes I'm thinking about that when I'm in line waiting. Instead of being impatient and saying, here's 14 counters here, and there's only two that are open. Have y'all ever gone through that? Yeah, only two that are open, and the line is real long. See, don't they have a six item or less lane? Come on, y'all. No? Why not just say, you know what, here's an opportunity maybe to get to talk it to some of the people around them and encourage them who may be more impatient than you are. And maybe the little checker outer up there, maybe everybody's giving her a hard time. So when you get up there, say, hey, listen, I feel for you because you're having to put up with a lot of impatient people. And some of them might have taken it out on you. So I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. You're doing a great job. Other thing you can do is sometimes they'll ask you, are you having a good day? And just say, I'm having a terrific day. Really? So you need to kind of amaze them. I'm having a terrific day. Oh, well, really, what happened? Say, well, it's the day the Lord has made. He's been blessing me all day long. I'm just overflowing. I'm just so happy. Okay. That might lead to a little further. Of course, they can't stop and talk to you while they're checking people out. But anyway, pray to God to use you daily. That's just what we were talking about. And I like number six, leave the results to God. Yeah. The Bible talks about it. Some planted, some watered, some reaped. Okay. Sometimes all you can do is some planting a seed. Leave the results to God. So be ready for this. What if you start sharing with people your testimony and then they'll say, okay, how do I become a Christian? Let me call the pastor. I had a lady that came by the church one time when I was over at Rockwood. And we had a lot of people that kind of dropped in and they always wanted some money. They said groceries, but what they really wanted was money. If you offered them groceries, they said, why don't you just give me the money? So that happened all the time. So here's this lady that walked in. We didn't keep the door locked like oftentimes we do now. But she just walked in, walked down the hall, and knocked on the door of my office and said, Pastor. And I was getting ready to say, oh, if you're looking for some groceries or some help, we send everyone to NICA, Northside Interchurch Agency, because they're kind of equipped for that. We don't keep food around here. We don't keep any money around here. I started to start my spiel, and before I started it, she said, I was hoping a pastor could help me because I need to give my heart to the Lord. Yeah, I felt about that high. Yeah, I need to give my heart to the Lord. I said, that's it? You don't want money? No, I didn't say that. So she sat down there and I shared with her how to be a Christian, how to give your heart to the Lord. She walked away blessed and happy, and I learned a good lesson. Don't ever assume. Yeah. So here we go. Number one, trust Christ as your Savior. So how do I become a Christian? Trust Christ as your Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And then you could share Romans 10, 9, and 10. We'll read that in just a second. Number three, read the Bible. Start reading. Give them a Bible reading program. I always tell people if they're interested, don't start in Genesis and try to read through the Bible that way. I said start with the Gospel of John. And it's really good for understanding the Gospel and what Jesus was all about. So that's a good one to start with. or at least start with the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Number four, get involved in a Bible-believing church. They will help you understand all the questions that you have. Number five is grow. Number six is serve. Oh, yeah, so the scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Got it? All right. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sometimes we want to give them a list of everything they should start doing. Well, you need to start going to church. Really, is that first thing that you do? No, the first thing is what the Bible says to do. Confess with your mouth that Jesus... Oh, confess. Oh, I got to tell all my sins. No, that's not what confess means here. Literally, the word in the Greek for confess is say along with. So, if you confess, you say along with what that Jesus is Lord. In other words, you're agreeing with the gospel message. Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him. God raised him. I got to believe that. Well, yeah. You don't have a Savior if he's not alive. So you got to believe that he raised him from the dead. Well, I'm not sure that happened. Do we have any evidence or to support that? Yes, we do. There's plenty. You need to check it out for yourself. God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Did it say might be? Yeah. If you work at it. You mean all I have to do, confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, God raised him from the dead, you will. Yes, you will. Absolutely. Well, I hope it works. No, it will work. This thing works. The gospel works. There are no exceptions. Well, you don't know how bad I've blown it, what kind of life I've lived. I am so messed up. Does the Bible say, unless you're messed up real bad? No, this is for everybody. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Well, you mean that's it? It's that simple? The answer is yes, because God did everything necessary for your salvation. It's not what you do, it's what God did for you. What you're doing right here in this little prayer is you're receiving it based on what he did. That's grace. So that's a good scripture to point people toward if they're asking, hey, how do I become saved? What's the first step? You start right there. Well, here's some tactics that don't work. You ready for some of those? Now, 50 years ago, this was a tactic. And maybe it worked because most people believed in heaven whether they went to church or believed in God or not. They sort of believed in heaven. But nowadays, if you say, let me ask you a question. Do you want to go to heaven? They might say, I don't believe in heaven. Now what's your next line? You might say, well, you don't want to go to hell, do you? I don't believe in hell either. Oh, okay. Let me call the pastor. What do I say now? Yeah, that tactic didn't work. On Sunday morning when we're in church, there's people all over town in all different places than church. They might be at McDonald's getting, you know, this is their Sunday routine. Let's go to McDonald's and get something to eat. Go for an early lunch because everybody else is in church. We'll go get lunch at 11. Well, you know what? They're not concerned. They're not worried about, I wonder if I ought to be in church. It's not on their radar. Am I missing something? No. No, it's just not on their radar. So we got to understand the culture that we're in today. They're not concerned with heaven or hell or whether they ought to be in church or not. So we got to take that in consideration. I like this one too. Don't read the Bible to an unbeliever. Don't hit them with Bible verses from your 10-pound Bible. Maybe have a few of them memorized, and maybe you can zip one in there. But just opening it up and start telling them to them that you pointing your finger at them and telling them that they're headed for hell, but here's your only hope. And, you know, you're preaching at them. That's what they're afraid of. Number three, don't preach, share. Identify with them. Share something from your life. It could be something just this week. Give them something fresh that God has done in your life. And number four, don't argue. Gently convince. Remember the gentleness and the reverence? So don't get into an argument about it. And oftentimes people do. They're loaded for you if you're going to get into a conversation with them about church or whatever, because what they're going to bring up is the hypocrites, the money-grabbing preachers. I knew a preacher that ran off with the secretary, blah, blah, blah. They're ready for you. They've got all these reasons. I remember one day when Doug and I think Doug was with me, and we were over at Dusty's, back when it was Dusty's in River Oaks, a little restaurant. And we were sitting there having lunch, and a guy was sitting right next to us, and he was real loudly talking about how he didn't like preachers. He said, because all preachers want is their money, is your money. It's all they want. They want your money. Well, I was going to let it go for a little while, but then I thought, you know, I need to say something. And I said, sir, we're pastors, and we don't want your money. Well, he kind of got quiet after that. He could have asked me, like, huh, what? You don't? But that kind of burst his bubble. I said, we're pastors, and we don't want your money. We want to help you, not take something from you. I don't know if that changed his mind. But... Yeah. So don't tell others what they have to do. Tell them what God has done for them. Every other religion in the world will tell you what you have to do to get to God. Christianity is the only one where God is not us reaching up to God. God reached down to us and did everything necessary. He did for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. So, don't expect to go from sinner to saint in 15 minutes. You might just be planting a seed, and hopefully you planned a good one. I have known Christians that planted some bad seeds, to where some people say, I'm never going to talk, I don't want to talk to a Christian anymore, I don't want the pastor to come and visit me. They've been turned off. So we got to remember that when we're going door to door. Okay, so let's keep these in mind. There, some of them, they might not have a hostility toward you, but they just, I don't know if they might think you're Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons who, you know, want to make, you know, here's our book, read it, and all this kind of stuff. Have this idea, this mentality. Is there anything that we can do to help you? We're a church that prays for people. Do you have anything that we can pray for you about? So we're here to help. We don't want anything. We want to give you something. Here, take a piece of candy. It's chocolate. It's a little melted, but no, we don't give chocolate, do we? Not during the summer. Okay. Now here's a Milky Way. So there are emotional barriers that cause people to reject God that are very personal. Most people don't have an intellectual argument against the Bible. It's personal. When I was in Houston for a while, I did substitute teaching, and I got to talking to the teachers sometime, and this one particular one, I just felt led to ask her where she went to church. She said, I used to go to the Presbyterian church. And I said, oh, Presbyterian? She goes, yeah. I said, well, wait a minute, you said you used to go. She goes, yeah, I used to go. I don't go anymore. And I said, oh. I said, do you mind me asking why? And she said, well, not long ago my father died. And I loved my father, and God took him. There you go. She didn't have an intellectual argument. She had a personal reason for rejecting God and the church. So I tried to witness to them. I said, Could I just interject an idea? What if that's not true? I believe God received your father, but I don't believe he took him. God's in the life business, not the death. He's not going around taking people. And so I tried to witness to her a little bit. I don't know. I just kind of went, I think. But who knows? I didn't get to talk to her anymore. Skeptic or cynic? There. There's a difference between a skeptic and a cynic. A skeptic will believe it if he finds evidence. A cynic will not believe it even if there is evidence. And I was talking to a guy one time, and I was sharing the gospel. And so I could tell he wasn't sounding very open to it. And he had some rebuttals and so on. And I said, hold on just a minute. I said, we might be able to shorten this conversation a little bit. Let me ask you, what if I were able to convince you to your own satisfaction that Jesus died for you and was raised from the dead? And I said, now the key is, if I could convince you to your own satisfaction, would you then believe? He said, no. So even if he were satisfied, fully convinced, his answer was still the same, no. So a cynic will not believe even if there is evidence. A skeptic doubts God's goodness, not so much his existence. Y'all get that? Okay. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. Might have to make a two session, just like preachers do. Hey, I'm only on my second point and the time is up. So the do's and don'ts are going to be fast. Number one, pray for God to use you evangelistically. Number two, have a dynamic personal faith. In other words, have a great relationship with the Lord. Number three, be ready to share appropriately. Ask God how you can insert some good news into conversations. And evangelistic sharing should not be religious argumentation. Number four, anticipate antagonistic cultural mindsets. Gently overcome stereotypes and common misconceptions of Christianity. Use proactive strategies, always kindly and convincing. Expect results, positive and negative, like I got with this guy. Yeah. Another one I was sharing with is I was inviting him to church. And I said, we don't do church as usual. I said, we love each other. It's just a great church. And he said, yeah. He said, I used to go to church. And I said, well, why don't you come and try out our church? He said, ain't no fat lady going to jump on me, is she? I said, no. You never know, right? No. I said, no, that's not going to happen. I guess he had been chewed out or something by some lady in the church. So use proactive strategies. Number five, expect results. Got that. Some people want to hear more. Some people will fear or resent you. Be sensitive to people's open and closed buttons. That's a big one. I mean, we could talk about that for a while. Do you have open and closed buttons? Accepting buttons? Get out of here buttons? Okay, everybody has open and closed buttons. Ask the Holy Spirit what they are. Hey, I think I left out one. Did I say anything about Philip and the Ethiopian? Okay, Philip was led by the Spirit. Same way we ought to share with people. He didn't stop every chariot that came by and say, hey, let me preach the gospel to you. No, the Holy Spirit said, join up with that chariot. See, because God had already prepared his heart. He needed somebody to share with him. So he gets up to the Ethiopian. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? He's sitting there reading the book of Isaiah. He's going, no, I need somebody to explain it to me. So there he is. So that takes a lot of the fear out of sharing with people. Be led by the Spirit. And you'll find yourself dealing with hungry people. People that are eager to hear good news. So be led by the Spirit. There's a time to speak. There's a time to be quiet. Oh, there it is. There's Philip. Okay, I thought of closing. Here we go. Exciting conclusion. There. I was loaded for logic. I was ready for rhetoric, but I had no defense against love. There you go. The greatest of these is love. They experience your love, they're going to like you. They'll invite you back. All right. That's it. God bless you. Thank y'all for listening.